We all heard about that wide road that will be there in the future. It's not so wide over here. Well, welcome to the fourth day of the feast. Does it seem like it's half over already? Well, it's my opportunity to break that news to you. It's half over. Well, it will be after the sermonette. That's not a time measure. My sermonette should not be that long, but it's basically that time. We each live in a world that's filled with uncertainty, division, and everyone, not only us, but all those around us, are searching and longing for something better. The promises that you and I find in Scripture concerning the millennial reign of Jesus Christ buoys us up. It offers hope that transcends our immediate circumstances, urging us to shape our lives today in view of the glorious tomorrow that we've been hearing about during the feast so far and will continue to hear about. That glorious tomorrow that our God, our most gracious and wonderful God, has prepared for us. But I'm also here to tell you that our work will only get more and more as time goes on. As we've heard in the past and we'll hear again, we are in training. In this sermonette today, I would invite each one of us to reflect more deeply on how anticipating Christ's return and his thousand-year reign can inspire our everyday living today, motivating us to seek hope, as we heard yesterday and also before, to cultivate holiness and to live with an eternal perspective every single day of our lives. The millennial reign, as described in Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6, I'm not going to turn there. You can certainly look it up, but we're all familiar with it. Paints a picture of Christ ruling on earth for 1,000 years, a time marked by peace, justice, and restoration or rejuvenation. The adversary is bound, and we, Christ's followers, reign with him. Our work of reigning is to come yet. We are in training for that today. But all mankind will experience harmony and righteousness as never before. It certainly will not start out that way, but we will help to transform the world at that time to one of harmony and righteousness, along with Jesus Christ and God the Father. This promise in the future, these dreams, as we've heard about, that refrigerator full of ice cream, so to speak, it should be a living hope every day of our lives that we can transform the present even. It is a vivid reminder that history is moving toward that fulfillment of God's promises and that he has not abandoned his people, all his children, every single part of creation to a world of chaos forever. It is only temporary, just as this feast is, just as our lives are. Hope is not wishful thinking. It is rooted in God's character and his promises. When we fix our eyes on the future reign of Jesus Christ, our hope becomes steadfast. The vision of that millennial kingdom reminds us of every injustice, every sorrow, every small child, as we heard about yesterday, and every loss will be set right. We can persevere through trials today because in Christ we are destined for a world where love reigns supreme and every tear will be wiped away. Hope changes how we should view our current challenges. Instead of despairing in our difficulties and becoming bogged down by them, we're able to say, you know, this is not the end. This is just that path to get there. And we're going through these trials for a reason. But God has given us the hope. He's given us that vision to see beyond those trials. God's kingdom is coming. Hope motivates us to endure, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. We're all familiar with this verse. It reads, 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," that's us, "be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Yes, everything that we do, even though it may be difficult at times, if we keep our eyes on that vision, if we have that hope, we know that no matter how hard or difficult it may be, that a better time is coming for not only us, but all of mankind. And we will be part of bringing it to the rest of mankind. Another aspect of our journey is pursuing holiness, preparing for that coming kingdom. The future reign of Jesus Christ calls us to holiness now. As we read in Revelation 20, it makes it clear that those who reign with Jesus Christ are those who remained faithful, even in the face of adversity. The anticipation of sharing in his rule encourages us to pursue lives marked by purity, obedience, and love. But holiness is not legalism, but it is a loving devotion to God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son, desiring to be like them as we await the reign of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Every act of kindness and justice, mercy that we practice today is practice for the kingdom of God. When we forgive, when we serve, and when we uplift others, if even by a smile, we mirror the love of Christ that will define that reign. Holiness also calls us to reject the patterns of the world that go on around us, to not become part of them. It's difficult at times. They draw us in, but yet we must remain separated. God has separated us. He has called each one of us. And he's called us to be agents of transformation, not only for our brethren in the church, but also for those around us by being examples, so that it one day, when God opens their mind, they will remember your example. We never know how much of an example we are to those, because we will not see it in the present day most of the time. But if we go through our daily lives thinking that way, thinking of the impact we will have on eternity, those simplest acts, those simplest moments of love are exactly what will remain. Living with an eternal perspective frees us from the fear of the future. We know what the future holds. And we can share that with each other, and in a simple way, we can share it with those around us simply by our actions. That reign, as I said, Christ's reign, is not just about the here and now. Our decisions, our relationships, and our ambitions take on new meaning when they are shaped by eternity. The values of the coming kingdom, mercy, justice, humility, faithfulness, become the blueprints for our daily living. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 with me. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. Here we read, "And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Yes, we should always have these aspects in mind in our daily lives, here at the feast, and especially when we return home, because once again, as we have already talked about, the feast is half over. It's only temporary. I've always said that that's part of the lesson of the feast. As wonderful as it can be at times, it is only temporary. And many of us, even here in the audience, are still going through trials during this feast. Everyone's trials are different. We may not be aware of them. As I said, please remember that our Heavenly Father knows each of the trials that we go through, and He says they are only temporary. Look forward to that wonderful world tomorrow. You know, our material possessions, our status, our fleeting pleasures pale in significance in comparison to the joy and the peace we will find in serving in the reign of Jesus Christ. Imagine yourself being able to help, as we sang in the first song, teaching the nations. It's talking about us. We will be the ones teaching the nations. You and I, all of God's people, in direction by Jesus Christ. But we will be those laborers. So what can we do today here at the feast, the remainder of the feast, and more so when we get back to our individual congregations, in practically living the kingdom today? Well, the first thing we can do is, in everything we do, is seek the kingdom first. Matthew 6:33, we're all familiar with that. We prioritize God's will in every area of our life. And at times it's very difficult, we all know that. But can we say that we're trusting in all these things will be given unto us if we only do so? We can pray every day, multiple times, for a renewal. Ask God to cultivate in us the character and compassion of our Savior Jesus Christ, preparing us each to reign with Him in our own way, the way He would have us to do. We all bring something to that table. Serving faithfully. Look for opportunities to serve those around you, here at the feast, back home, knowing that every act of love is a foretaste of the kingdom to come. And once again, these acts could be very simple, just a simple smile. Somebody may be having a down day when they come to services, but yet they see you smile, and it will probably lift them up. Encourage one another. Remind each of us of this hope that we've talked about this feast, that we have in our Savior and our Father, and support each other through our trials as we learn for that task ahead. Live in peace. Strive to be peacemakers, reflecting the harmony that will define Christ's reign. You know, it's sometimes easy to do that at church, but is it easy to do it on the highway on the way to church? Or in your job place, or for the children at school. You're buffeted with a lot of hard things And sometimes we as parents cannot appreciate what you go through on a daily basis in the world we live in today. But yet, I stand before you to tell you that's only temporary too. Dream on. Dream of those refrigerators full of ice cream and the horses that you can ride and everything else that has been talked about, because that's where our hope should be. That's what God promises us. You know, our hope in that millennial reign of Jesus Christ that we will serve during does not call us to be escaped from the world, but to engage with the world, to engage with each other. We are not to withdraw from the world waiting for Christ to return. Instead, the certainty of his future rule empowers us to be bold witnesses, examples, compassionate neighbors, and faithful disciples in the present. Anticipation transforms us, making us agents of renewal in our own homes, in our workplaces, in our communities. Our actions, once again, no matter how small they may be, our acts of love could result in marvelous remembrances in the future by those we've touched. So in conclusion, let us therefore live every day as citizens of the coming kingdom. Let us allow the hope of Christ's millennial reign to infuse our hearts with joy, our actions with purpose, and our relationships with love. In a world that often seems dark and divided, we have a radiant future to look forward to, a future that gives meaning and momentum to our present journey. May our lives bear witness to the reign of Jesus Christ daily. May our words and deeds reflect the justice, mercy, and peace that he, along with us, will one day establish on the earth. And as we await that glorious day, may we be found faithful, living in hope and holiness, preparing to reign along our Savior. May we be ready. Happy feast.